Romans 2. This friend of Angela's brother will be here at about 9:30 this morning. He's going to be staying in the back house for a couple, two or three weeks. His name is Kel Williams. And he's going to, I don't know yet what he's going to do. He's going to work. I think he's going to work. If anybody has any work for him, we can use him. So.
Pete might.
Pete probably does. And, all right. I don't remember where we stopped, but let's go to 2. I think we were at 25. Well, we stopped in 24. We said, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you or by you, as it is written. And then verse 25, For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doest, who, having received the letter and circumcision, does transgress the law? Now, as I said when we started this section, this it's taking the people of God, who are the Jewish people, who are the chosen family, if you will, to see if they could. And so what it does is it takes us and puts it. If this is true for the Jew, it's 10,000 times more true for all the other races. But the salvation is, if you by nature fulfill the law. And again, by nature is by instinct. And you can do it by instinct in the same way that everybody else does. When you come to the end of yourself, there's Jesus Christ. Because on the Feast of Pentecost, his seed was shed in you. So all of these years, your whole life, you've been masquerading as somebody. And until you find that out, You're just like the Jew, trying to act like you're doing something right. What? Does that communicate? Okay, and let's look at those. Let's go to Galatians 5:3. Pray for Ronnie. He's taking his stress test this morning.
Is he already there? Is he?
Yeah. Wade took him early. Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now this is not just the Jews he's talking to. If any part of you decides that you're going to follow a little part of the law and then you break it in one point, then you're toast. Because the only reason you're trying to follow the law is to gain righteousness. So that you can feel like you're better than somebody else. Remember, the whole of this section in Romans is about whether you're on the mercy seat or in the judgment seat. Those are the only two places you can be. Okay? Anybody, everybody understand this? Let's go to Acts 10. Verse 34. This is Peter preaching to the Gentiles. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Now, again, you got to remember, what we've done in our culture, and I guess we do it in every culture, I don't know, but I know what we've done. We have all of these, I watched, there's the telethon going on in TBN, and I turned it on yesterday when I was in bed, and there is Paula White. And I watched her for about an hour, and everything that she said, from what I understand of the scriptures, is leading people astray, because she's telling people how that God is sanctified their ambitions and their hopes, and all they need to do is give enough money or make an offering, and then God will release the sevenfold blessing on you. And that, you know, they have that little counter up there, and somehow she really communicates, because there's about 200 phone lines, and so it tells you how many phone lines are taken and how many phone lines are open. And during most of the time that she was speaking, all the phone lines were full. Because people, if you want God, God wants you to have your dream and your hopes and your ambitions fulfilled. And Satan has been putting a hold on you. Now we're going to release. This is the seven, is the year of release. Now, God wants you to do all these things. And they were all things of, you know, whatever anybody's mind has thought of. And that's just wrong. She's never read the book of Ecclesiastes. But the point of it is, all of us have accepted something like that. You've got some little procedure that you want to do. You've got some little thing, some little portion of the law that you want to say, okay, I'm going to do this and then I'll be all right. And that's all a lie. You go to, I'm not anything against all these things, but I mean, like, the seven principles of who's that? What's the one that did the men thing, the men group?
I'm still stuck back at 2007 as the year of release.
Well,
that's news to me.
That's, well, I'm telling you, that's...
That's a big deal.
No, it's in every one of the preachers. They're doing it now. They all copy each other.
I think we've got that particular calendar we're going by.
Should have heard Benny last night.
But who's the guy? What's the guy that had the men's stuff? The Colorado coach.
Promise
Keepers. Okay, there are seven principles for Promise Keepers. Anybody ever go to a Promise Keeper meeting?
I've imagined myself there.
I said I would, but I didn't.
I can imagine. That's, can you, who, you know who?
Oh,
I'm,
yeah.
Yeah?
I really did go. Oh,
yeah. What was it? The seven steps to something or other? Anyway, they couldn't keep the first 10 or the first 613, so they invented seven more. Or the 12 steps to freedom from drugs and alcohol or whatever. And they're fine. I'm not complaining. But it's not, it has nothing to do with this. Remember the cartoon we ran in the door? The 12-step program? It showed him walking up. He got to the 11th step, then the 12th step. He fell back in his face, all the way down again. From God's perspective. Because God isn't interested in fixing your outward you. He's interested in the revelation of Jesus Christ in you, and that revelation doesn't need anything added to it because you have been perfected by one offering. So it doesn't matter whether you call yourself a Jew and you're trying to fix the law, or you're trying to do any of these things. What you're doing is you've added to the mystery of God and thinking this next thing I do is going to help. And where's the cross? Where's your death in it? Some of you you've tried for decades trying to get something fixed. Some aspect of your life that you don't like. And so I'm going to fix it by using these principles. No. What will happen? You will fall again. Because you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. Do you really understand? Because the Holy Spirit's purpose is only to show you more of Him in you. Not to do anything like, oh, I'm going to do this and that. I'm going to do great things for God. Or I'm going to be a great father or a great son or a great whatever. So you go learn little principles of how to do it. That's blasphemy. Because you're denying the foundation. What? You're gelling over there. You're taking over.
I'm hearing you. This is such a pregnant arena because when you hear about God and you love Him and you're so excited about it, the natural response is, what can I do now? I've got to do something to respond to this great feeling.
And well, read the scriptures.
Yeah, but there's preachers out there capitalizing on that, knowing that you're not reading the scriptures, and they take that powerful influence that's all powerful, and they direct it to their pocketbook. And,
well, they didn't have
like,
to.
I hear what Gary's saying. That's a good way. It's like it's so.
But the point is if it wasn't a preacher doing it, it would be somebody else. Correct. I mean,
new car, new house.
It's whatever it is. It's all the advertising. It's just they're trying to add to the mystery of God.
Right. And that's why the preaching of the cross is so rare, because nobody wants to hear it at that point. They want to go.
They want to do great things for God.
Right.
You remember the first 3 months that when you lived with me in 1972 or 3, whenever
it
was?
Yeah, I helped you get your start.
You fell for every one of those deals.
Oh, great.
And I kept telling you, die. You remember that?
Of course.
Yeah. And I heard that.
For a split second. And then you had to go, and then you got all of these preachers that came to you every other day and told you how to do new things. What? You were going to say
something? Well, I'm remembering that years ago we sat and talked one night about how Israel came into Canaan and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to plant crops. And there was a friendly Canaanite there who said, all you have to do is take this little doll and put it on the mantle in your house, or take this little thing and put it in with the seed, and then it will grow. And that is all men at all times in all situations. We all want a little totem that we can buy that will make whatever it is succeed. I did it again yesterday. I woke up this morning upset and depressed, and now I know why. Because I get these silly emails from these silly people beating drums and dancing about, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, here's how we're going to do it, and then you do this, and then this will work. And every damn time, I think I'm not buying into it, but I do buy into it. I take it seriously, like it's important, and I start investing time and energy and talking to them and stuff instead of just letting it go. But I still, I mean, I'm sitting there Sunday experiencing Melito and Passover, and everything's fine, and I know the truth. And yesterday, I walk right back into the stupid fire. And then I pay for it with depression. I'm going to buy that stupid little doll that's going to make the corn grow.
So I got to tell you a story. One of the guys that he wanted to use my media, you know, Rolodex, now whatever you call it in the stupid computer, to send out all kinds of press releases.
Yeah, I mean, just somebody
trip.
Oh, how much?
And no, he wouldn't do it to benefit us. And we had a little come to Jesus talk, but it's
Trinity Zig Ziglar.
This is how, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. We take up the shield of faith so that you may quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the shield of you can't listen to any of these counselors. They're all trying to seduce you. Every voice in your head is trying to tell you how to do something. And every one of those voices will leave you from and take you away from that moment of faith. And then you become just like everybody else. And you become a person who is using faith to get stuff, to get acclaim, to get understanding, to get. And you forget, whatsoever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. He doesn't need anything. And his humility will let you do it over and over and over and over again. Because he will not occupy where you are. So you have to go and get all puffed up again. And then, you know, for some it takes years to come to the end. And fortunately for Harry now, it's starting to take less than just a few hours when he gets all puffed up. And then what happens? What do? That's what that Revelation 5 is about. You get all puffed up, and then you fall into the pit.
This reminds me of Eve sitting there, and it says, when Eve saw that it was this, when she saw that it was this, when she saw that it was this, and then she had to grasp the fruit to eat it. And Christ thought it not. I mean, he didn't grasp anything. He just...
You need nothing. You need no acclaim. You need nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I promise you, everything in this universe, everything in time and space is trying to convince you and us that we need something. You need more understanding of God. You need more faith. You need more this. You need more that. I want to do some good. So I need more doing some good. And it's all a lie. Whatsoever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. But I'm using it for the kingdom of God. No, you're not. Oh, I just want to know truth. I'm a truth seeker. No, you're not. You're a control seeker. It's tall. Faith is that moment that's precious. That in that moment of faith is all joy, all peace, all rest. And it's only your mind that takes you out of it. Nothing else can. Can anything that your mind comes up with stand against it is finished? And this is, you can see now why people started separating their life into their spiritual life or their secular life, right? Because you can quickly convince yourself, well, this is fine for my spiritual life, but I got to go out and exist in the real world.
You got to pay the rent.
The point of that is that you are faithless, because it's you're double minded. You've split the mystery of God into secular and spiritual, and it can't happen. So there you have no understanding, because your eyes again are blinded by self seeking. But you say, oh no, I'm not self-seeking, I'm just fulfilling the needs of my family, or I'm doing this, the great one now is, God needs our money. Come on. Can you see why it's taken the night of the last day has lasted 2,000 years? And why the preaching of the cross is the rarest thing in the universe? Go to Philippians 3. You've got to hear this. I've said it over and over again these last few weeks. But the religion that is going on in you, inside you, is the antithesis of the religion that is demanded of God. And I don't have to tell you what goes on in your mind. You know. You lay there in the bed, or laying when you're musing about stuff, and you got all, it just goes everywhere. And it's just horseshit. It's all, every one of those thoughts is trying to draw you away, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. So you take up the shield of faith, and pretty soon you'll find out you owe those thoughts nothing. And it doesn't, you can't blame it on anybody else, because it can only stick if nothing that anybody says to you can, or anything or any deal, it can only stick if you're not transparent. What? You're doing it.
That's why the darkness is important. So you can, you know, hide. And then all this stuff sticks. So you're getting life from it. You know, it's death incarnate. That's what we found out in 11.
Verse 2, chapter 3. Beware of dogs. And dogs were the male prostitutes. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And that no confidence in the flesh means no confidence in that which is of the flesh, namely your thoughts. Oh no, my thoughts are spiritual. My thoughts are, I love it. We've got some common acquaintances. I have the mind of Christ, so my ideas are redeemed. What are you, blithering idiot? Can't you see? You've been through it 100,000 times. You see how stupid your thoughts are. Oh no, mine are great. Because they're redeemed. I've conned myself into believing that these ridiculous thoughts that I have are now redeemed. The mind of Christ is total emptying. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the Lord, or in the flesh, I'm more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So that's just about as high as you can go. Then, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now that is everything. Even your ideas of knowledge about God, even your ideas about faith, even your ideas of memorizing Scripture. whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ, because all he demands of you is your emptying. And that doesn't take any intelligence. It doesn't take any education. It's simple. It's that simple obedience of one who has known. Is what? That's why the gospel is only to the poor. The poor is that great word. You remember that we talked about it. Which means you can't bring anything to an end. It doesn't just mean not having any money. But we pride ourselves on bringing things to an end. That's why the gospel is only to the poor. Those that can't bring something to an end. Otherwise, if you are successful at bringing something to an end, then you will automatically put the name of God on your idolatry.
How do you keep from being depressed by the fact that you're always thinking of things?
Well, you have to know.
But you're always going to. I mean, your brain.
Well, but you don't owe it anything.
What?
You don't owe it anything.
I know, but if you know that you're wrong, and every thought comes up, you keep.
Into
depression. I mean, you can't avoid being depressed.
Of course you can.
How bad you are.
Of course you can. But you think Christ is depressed?
No.
Well, then let this mind be.
But we're not Christ.
No, listen to this prayer, the ancient prayer. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. And I promise you, if you take up the shield of faith, every one of those thoughts will disappear, because nothing can stand against it is finished. Nothing can stand against you've been perfected by one offering.
Until
no thought.
You see some new thing.
No. There's no thought that can stand against it is finished. I challenge you to find one.
Right. Well, I think it's a good theory, but it's when you're walking down the street, you're going to see a girl or a dream or a, you know, lustful.
And that's why our walk with Christ is constant, is a walk of constant repentance. Repentance isn't an act. It's a constant. It's humility isn't an act. It's a constant. It has nothing to do with your outward. It has to do with the inward. Humility is inward.
Right.
And it's doing exactly, it's ignoring all of your own ideas and thoughts. Or if you can't, then you give them up. If you can't, if that doesn't work, then you have to talk to somebody that is of like precious faith. Because again, otherwise, because all of us want to be successful in isolation, but none of us can be. And that's why if again, Harry goes through this all the time. If there's something that I can't deal with, I say that something that's attacking me, and I say, Father, this year, as I put it on the altar. Once I put it on the altar, it's illegal for me to touch it again. If it's still there, then I have to talk to somebody. That's why there has to be transparency among his people. You can't do this alone. I tried. I would love to have been able to do this alone.
This is why the monks tried to.
No, they can't do it either. They go out and people like Origen castrated themselves so they wouldn't have lustful thoughts.
Or Luther.
Luther went out and laid in the snow.
So you can be excited in fellowship in releasing your efforts?
I promise you this. What you think is dark that you're confessing will bring light to want somebody else.
And that's where you get the joy.
That's where the joy of the Lord comes from.
Okay.
Because you make no provision to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And we're not talking sex, that's part of it. But we're talking about this mystery of being able to empty, and then when you can't, the need for.
So there's joy in emptying all of your sick thoughts.
That's right. And what you think is sick will give somebody else. Except hope.
Because they think you've got it. Oh, if he's got it, then.
They think you've got it together.
The question about depression, I really understand that question. And I think of
Christ was, boy, his ministry was really going well. He got up to 5,000 people listening to him, and then 4,988 walked away.
And about 5 minutes later.
Did he get depressed because he wasn't being successful? He's on a cross looking down, and there's not one person speaking on his behalf. Did he get depressed?
Well, what he did was...
Nothing worked.
Right. He was the most... His ministry was totally and completely unsuccessful.
Right.
It was shamed. But you think it's a ministry of performance. And that's the lie. The night has come when no man can work. It's not going to come. Well, how can I... The question that always comes up, and it's implicit in what you would just say. Well, if I did what you said, Oli, I'd just go sit in a corner all day. Or go live in a cave. Well, the point of it is, that's because you don't believe in the power of God. You have a form of godliness, but deny his efficacy. You know, you've heard me say... many times, a believer never has to make a decision. Never makes a decision. Because if there's more than one option, you do nothing. And I promise you, that's the guidance. That's how the Holy Spirit guides you in your day-to-day activities. Whatever it is, if you have a choice between two things, you do nothing until the cloud is lifted and there's no choice. And you think, well, my God, I'm so used to me. I have 13 choices at the same time. Well, and that's because you haven't been exercising this faith. Because what you do, just think of it in terms of it's your religion. You're hardwired for this crazy religion of self for self. And you can put all kinds of twists on it and color it. And you can say, oh no, I just want to be successful. That's it's a spiritual trickle-down theory. It's about as weak as that's what I used to believe before I became a believer. That if I didn't have any concern for the poor. I figured, my God, if I get mine, then they'll get theirs. Well, that's a lie. And it's a lie of economics. And you can see it today. We're destroying the middle class, but I don't care about that. But I care that what I care about you having this trickle down theory of religion. Where does it start? It starts with you. When does it start? Right now. Because your religion internally, I don't care if you put the name of Christ all over everything. And don robes and wear little dresses and hats and stuff. It's the religion that's going on inside you. And you know how sick that little religion is. You don't need my help to tell you. You just need my help to remind you of it so you don't con yourself anymore. What?
Well, takes one to know one.
Yeah.
Well, I promise you, I know one. Me. Is this making sense to anybody? Do you understand? This is why the gospel is so revolutionary. This is why it's always been only for the poor. And again, poor has nothing to do with any money. Poor has to do with how you think of yourself. We didn't get very far.
Every 30 days, Carolyn gives me a report that tells me how much less money we made than we did the same month a year earlier, and I get depressed. And then every 60 days, Kevin gives me a number that tells me how many fewer subscribers we have than we did the previous 60 days, and I get depressed. And I'm sitting here, and it dawned on me, we're talking about the TBN telethon, just this simple fact. They have more television stations than we have subscribers. That strikes
but
me.
But it doesn't. I mean,
I know.
I don't
that
care.
Strikes me as just the funniest.
You understand?
I'm pegging my life to this silly little.
Do you understand
thing.
That the door is only there because it came there. We don't have any investment in it. We will do everything we can to make it successful.
Oh, what I understand is that I've taken my filthy little religion and turned it into something.
Yeah.
And I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's the door or how many meals we serve in the lair or whether the grass
or how somebody in here behaves.
It doesn't matter. I'll turn it into the pagan religion, whatever it is. Hanging out the garbage.
And you've got to understand it. Repentance is a state of being. It's leaving you behind always. I mean, unless, you know, again, I don't try to talk you into anything. If you don't, if you don't want to do this, it's not my business. But if you stay here, you're going to hear the same thing over and over and over again. Take a big guy.